Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh, the J-Man Munt. Sitting next to me in another state in the Eastern time zone is Tanner. Lee, how you doing tonight there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. Did you hear that daylight savings time might be a thing of the past here soon?
I did. I don't think you'll overly like 9 a.m. sunrises.
No, that's just my thought. Rough.
Yeah, that'd be a little late. Yeah,
but on the flip side, even though, and I get it's cold outside, you can't do much. Still, the flip side, it would be nice if it didn't get dark until 6:30-ish in the winter instead of 5.
Yeah,
but
it
like
yeah,
you can't do much.
Yeah. Either way, I think it's just it's not great. Either way,
no,
I'm okay with the sun going down at 5. I'm used to that. The sun coming up at 9 a.m. would be brutal. It's pitch black outside at 8 o'clock in the morning. That'd be horrible, in my opinion.
I mean, I guess as somebody who's lucky enough 4 days a week to work remote, it wouldn't affect me as bad as some.
Care. Yeah.
But.
And it wouldn't affect me as bad in the central time zone as it does the eastern time zone for sure, where sunrise would be 8 o'clock here instead of 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, but how we doing? How we doing this week?
Doing all right. It's a hot week, supposed to be. Yeah. Today was hot. Next 3 or 4 days are supposed to be the epitome of brutality, as one would say.
Dog days of summer are upon us, potentially.
It usually hits me in August. Like, okay, now's the time for, cooler weather. But here we are, not even midway point of July yet, and I'm there.
Yep. Yep. Well, we're at the halfway point of the MLB season.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what that means is NBA, MLB All-Star game time. I believe the game's tomorrow night.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So my birdie or bogey question this week is MLB. I keep wanting to say NBA. MLB All-Star related. I'm just hoping I haven't given you this question or you given me this question throughout the years, but there's a chance it's probably happened.
Well, the chance of either of us remembering is pretty low anyway.
Well, it's pretty cut and dry question here. You're either going to get a birdie or a bogey. There's no chance to get a par. In the history of the MLB, what player has the most All-Star selections?
Seems like a question we have had before, but I know, right? maybe it's just it's a normal question to ask. And but either way, I don't know what it is. I don't even have a guess, honestly. I'll find a guess, but I have no idea. But birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
They had new menu item Friday night and Saturday night this past weekend. Chicken chorizo bowl.
Spell that for me.
Chorizo.
Chorizo bowl.
Chorizo. That's what I meant.
Woo!
See, this is why I can never do anything like this professionally, because I just can't pronounce names or words or
the
I knew it didn't sound right when I was looking at it, but I just rolled with it.
The episode title should be Watch Tanner Pronounce or Listen to Tanner Pronounce Chorizo with a K.
Yep.
But anyway,
that's sex. I like chorizo too.
I love chorizo, yeah.
Wow.
But it's one of those words you don't see spelled very often though.
No, but like my brain knew what it was, and it just had a moment. My brain has way too many moments.
Happens to the best of us.
Let's see if Dreddy's had any specials over the weekend. Fried Caesar chicken sandwich, Southwest cream cheese wrap. Mm. I think that's on their normal menu, I think. So nothing special looks like. But as always, what they got going on their social media looks good. Don't just take our word for it, as my dog almost gets himself tangled with my mic cords or my headphone cords. Don't take our word for it. Go check out Dreddy's Place for breakfast and lunch and Arlington Public House for a fine dinner Thursday through Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, halfway point MLB season. Who has been some teams that have been a surprise to you? Who has been some teams who have been a disappointment in your eyes?
I think the most surprising team has been the Tampa Bay Rays with what they've been able to do. I mean, they're 56-38.
Surprising. You're not saying one of the most surprising.
I would say they are the most surprising.
All right.
Out of all of them. The Miami Marlins have a case as well. But they just got swept over the weekend, so now they're only seven games.
How about the White Sox? That's what comes to my mind as most surprising.
Yeah, I guess.
They're winning their division right now, halfway through the year. They've been so bad the last few years.
That's fair. I wasn't even thinking the White Sox, honestly. But I don't think about them, which is a typical Cubs fan thing to say. They think about us all the time.
Little brother, right?
Exactly. The White Sox are probably the most surprising, I would say.
That's why I was surprised by you saying the Rays were the most.
I would say 1A, 1B. I don't think anyone saw Tampa Bay Rays being 18 games over 500 in the first half. And they're doing it. I mean, they're doing it the way they've always done it. You know, pitching. I mean, they have a young superstar in Junior Caminero that seems like close to 30 homers, if not 30 homers at this point. He had a stretch where he hit like 10 homers in 13 games or something like that. So he's a stud. Pitching staff's great per usual. So I would say, White Sox, Rays, 1A, 1B. Marlins a distant second in that, second or third in that. I would even throw the Cardinals in there.
Representing well for a surprise.
They are. They're usually, I mean, fans still aren't showing up to games there, but at least they're representing their state well. The teams are, but I would throw the Cardinals in there as well. I thought they'd be the worst team in the Central,
We dogged them pretty hard.
One of the worst teams in the National League, but they're hanging in there, five games over 500. I still wonder how sustainable it is. Their pitching's just not very good. They play great defense though. I think I said it last week or a few weeks ago. Their pitching and defense are very similar to the Cubs, where Cubs by all metrics have the best defense in the league. Pitching stinks. I would say Cardinals defense is an upper echelon defense and their pitching kind of stinks. They've had a lot of fortune when it comes to injuries this year. I haven't had really any. They've had a lot of fortune when it comes to batting average on balls in play with runners in scoring position. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Cardinals kind of fall off, but they're in a position where they feel good enough to at least maybe stick in the race. The first couple weeks after the break are going to be huge for them as far as whether they're going to be sellers or buyers at the deadline. They currently are a game behind the Marlins for that final wild card spot. So up until the trade deadline, which for some reason is August 2nd this year, it should just stay July 31st always. That's what I say, July 31st always. But again, we're traditional.
Another tradition out the window.
Yep. Another Manfred tradition out the window too. Or another tradition that Manfred got rid of in a sense, but, most disappointing teams, Blue Jays, even though in my bold prediction, I said the Blue Jays would, not make the playoffs after, winning the American League last year, and they're on pace. I mean, they're 12 games out of the division right now. They're only 2.5 out of a final wild card spot because the American League is so bad. They're six games under 500. So I would say they are disappointing. Mets, you got to throw the Mets in there. They spend a ton of money every single year. They did lose Pete Alonso. I was very happy the Brewers got or David Stearns, who is their president of baseball ops. He was the Brewers president of baseball ops forever. And he's kind of turned them into the power that the Brewers have become. And I was very glad when he got out and left for the Mets. But Mets fans currently hate him now. He's now in a big market club that spends a ton of money, where he was able to win with, the smaller market stuff. And it hasn't gone well for him in a big market, which is the exact opposite. You could say Andrew Friedman, because he was the architect of the Tampa Bay Rays when they got good. goes to the Dodgers, and you see what the Dodgers have been doing since he's been there. But Mets, very disappointing. Francisco Lindor might be washed at this point. He's looked terrible. Yesterday, he cost him a game. Game-ending double play. Taylor made to him. Botched it. Yep, they end up losing in extra innings.
Yeah, every time Mets fans complain about David Stearns, I think they have a typo. And I'm like, why are they talking about the old NBA pitcher who's passed away?
Yeah, David Stearns. Yeah, Frank the Tank, our boy Frank the Tank. Yeah. He cannot stand David Stearns, but he Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor, it seems like they don't get along very well. They even asked Soto about their relationship and he didn't kind of say much.
I know Frank stood up for Soto recently between those
two. Soto's having a great year. Yeah. Lindor is not. So it's easier to stand up for the guy that's having a good year. as opposed to Lindor. But they let Pete Alonso go in free agency. He's having an okay year for Baltimore. But I think I said it a couple months ago, but David Stearns, all into analytics, which all the front offices are and stuff. But Pete Alonso said they were sitting down kind of doing contract negotiations. And Alonso said to him, you know, when my career is over and it's being evaluated for the Hall of Fame, you're still going to be messing around. He didn't say messing around. You're still going to be messing around with your computer programs and all that. So that's kind of how Mets fans view David Stearns. So they've been fair disappointing. Enough. Other than that, I would say
Tigers.
Yeah, they're still in it though. I mean, 6.5 game behind the White Sox again.
They're getting healthier.
That division stinks. Scooball's back. They're getting healthier, and they've played some very, very good baseball over the course of, I would say, about 6 weeks or so to kind of get themselves back into contention. And again, that division's wide open. White Sox and Guardians are tied for the top spot there. And again, it'll be huge to see what they do come trade deadline here. But why don't we do a little contender pretender here? I say we do it now and then we do it again after the trade deadline, because I'm sure that will kind of change some stuff. We can do pretender contender when it comes to playoffs, but we can also do pretender contender when it comes to World Series as well. Starting with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, they're definitely a contender for the playoffs. I still, for some reason, aren't buying them as a World Series team, but I don't know why. But maybe that's just their history. They've only got there once.
Mm-hmm. Twice. Yeah, they've gotten there twice.
Which year am I forgetting?
COVID year.
Ah, yep. Yeah. I couldn't have. Yep. Lost the Dodgers. I was like, they lost to the Phillies in 08. Man. Yep. Man, I could not have told you that. But yeah, I think they'll be in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. Especially with how bad the American League is, they'd really have to tank to miss the playoffs at this
point. Red Sox are getting hot.
Red Sox have been hot. They've been one of the, if not the best team in July so far, to the point where they're only two games under 500 now. They had like the worst record in the American League just a few weeks ago, and they are only a half game behind. The
whole city hated them.
The Twins for the Twins, really?
1, 2, 3, 4.
I think the Twins would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. They're 48-49. That's amazing, man.
That's amazing.
That's pathetic. Wake up, American League. Come on. There's only two. Well, I think Tampa Bay even has a negative run differential at 18 games.
Yeah, that's got to really grind your gears, as Peter Griffin would say, with the Cubs having a really good – Not a really good season, but solid. They've turned around to have solid. They've placed themselves to where they'd comfortably be in, but still as a wild card. And if they're in the AL, it'd be totally different.
Oh, yeah. They'd almost be a lock at this point.
Right, right. That's
They'd be winning the AL Central by 3.5 games currently. Whatever. There have been seasons where the Cubs have kind of stunk, but they got in the playoffs as well because the NL
Central.
2007. Yeah, they went 85-77 and won the division. So, evens out. I'm with you. Rays, definite contender for playoffs, obviously. Don't buy them for World Series. New York Yankees.
I'm going to say contender for both, even though I think it's stupid to say they're a contender for the World Series, looking at Aaron Boone's track record in October. They got to get healthy. They got to get Aaron Judge back
for sure
and going. But I still think anytime the Yankees are in the playoff or contention for the playoffs, if you're not at least considering that they can make the World Series, I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, I think still they're the odds-on favorite to win the American League. So I'm 100% there with you. Definite contender for World Series. Only 12 games over 500. They've had a rough couple months, really.
Right.
Rough 6 weeks or so. But again, haven't had Aaron Judge. Garrett Cole's back though, but Cam Schlittler's kind of had kind of regressed a little bit, so they need him to bounce back. But they're a good team; they'll be fine. I would still say they're probably going to win the East. They're only three games back now.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yep, still a lot of season left.
Yep.
Let's go to Boston. Let's go to the Red Sox.
Pretender. I mean, this is a nice little jolt to their fan base and their city before the All-Star break to get their hopes up a little bit, but I don't think they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they tank after the All-Star break. They did. They had their nice run. Fans were about ready to burn Fenway down there three weeks ago. Now they've gotten hot.
But I wouldn't trust their management if I'm their fans. They'll make a stupid move or something and screw it all up.
Or they won't do anything at the deadline, even if they're still in it. Yeah. Which is so weird because
they went cheap.
Yeah, they're the same owners that won. Mm-hmm. They broke the curse. I don't know what's happened there. Let's move on to the AL Central. Chicago White Sox.
I'm still saying pretender. I know they're a good story. They're winning the Central, but something tells me this isn't going to last.
Yeah. Good story. Fun for them. The White Sox fans have something to cheer about for the first time since – I think 5 years. 2021 was the last time they made the playoffs.
Forever ago.
They swept Oakland. Haven't been Oakland in a couple years. They swept the Athletics at home this week, which was great. Cleveland swept the Marlins, so they kind of they just stayed the same there. Both teams were like, crap, I wish one of those teams would have won one game at least. I'm going to say because of how bad the Central is, they're a contender for the playoffs. I don't think they're a contender at all to win a single postseason game right now. Now, again, that could change come, trade deadline. Who knows what they could pick up. I think they'd be stupid to go all in because you're so young. You don't want to trade away your farm for one season. But, again, Reinsdorf, you never know what he's thinking. Yeah. He's always trying to save a buck, too. So we'll see. Cleveland Guardians.
I'm there with them, like you just said, with the White Sox. I think they're a contender for the playoffs, but let's be honest, nobody in the Central is going to be a contender for the World Series.
No, nobody is. Cleveland has a better shot than the White Sox do currently. They have a superstar in Jose Ramirez. They have a good pitching. Neither team strikes fear in you. Cubs are 2-4 against them, though, combined this year. They've lost the series both.
You know, we bring up the Rays a lot, saying they're doing things how they always do.
Yep.
Cleveland's another franchise. If you look back in the last 15 years,
they've been good.
Yeah. They've been pretty good they don't really go buy a lot of free agents.
No, that's a very good comparison because they're very similar. They're small market.
Yep.
They've built through the farm system very, very well and do a lot of things well. And they get to the playoffs every single year, it seems like. They're in it.
And no matter what they do, they're overshadowed in their own city by either the Cavaliers being good, especially when LeBron's there and if he goes back there. And, of course, the Browns, even though the Browns are trash, that is Cleveland right there. So
yeah, definitely. I don't even want to bother spending time on the Twins under 500, even though they'd be in the playoffs. They're obviously a contender for the playoffs right now, but I think they're a pretender.
Right. Overall. How far back? I was going to say, are Tigers next and Royals last in that division?
Yeah, Tigers are 3.5 games behind the Twins, 6.5 games out of the division. Royals are going to sell. They're 21 games under. They've been super disappointing.
You know what? I got a weird feeling that the Tigers are going to make the playoffs.
I do, too. It's going to be reversed from last year. Remember, they had that 10-game lead entering September, and Cleveland came back and won the division out from under them. So, I'm with you. And, again, the next couple weeks heading into the trade deadline is going to be huge for them because I think probably the biggest storyline is going to be, will Skubal be traded? Will he hang around? So they come out guns a-blazing. Cubs host them next week. Tigers can stay in, and they could end up being buyers with how bad that division is.
You know, that's a – sorry to interrupt you. That's a little – I want to say that's a series, I guess you could say. I'm surprised it's never really turned into kind of a inner division. No, geez, inner league. I cannot talk like inner league rivalry a little bit. Detroit and the Cubs just
pretty close. The Tigers don't really have a inner league kind of rival because the Reds in Cleveland do. There's no other National League team in Michigan. The Brewers and Twins are kind of it. Cubs, White Sox, Cardinals, Royals. Maybe they try to make Tigers, Pirates because they're not horribly far. They're farther than probably Chicago is to Detroit. Maybe.
Could they do, it's weird to think, but like Toronto and Detroit?
They're in the same league though.
Oh, duh. My gosh. I am having a classic.
No, it's not. I mean, if they were in the National League, absolutely.
Yeah, but they're not. I am having a good one.
Looking at the National League, Detroit, who would they? I would say they're probably closest to Chicago or Pittsburgh or Cincinnati. But again, they, yeah. No, yeah, no one else. So they're kind of in no man's land there.
But I guess for years, Cubs and Tigers probably didn't play a bunch. And now with the new rules.
Yeah, they play every year now. Yeah. But yeah, back then it was always if Cubs were not playing the AL Central, they were still playing the White Sox.
Right.
Which is the way it should be. But
Yes.
Yeah, Tigers are kind of lonely there in the AL Central. But moving on to the AL West, another bad division. It's even worse than the Central. Rangers are currently winning it and they're 49-47.
I don't believe in them. I think they're pretenders.
I agree. Game and a half up on Seattle, who I would say you could probably throw them as one of the most disappointing teams. They got to the ALCS last year. Great pitching. The offense just hasn't been there, which is usual, per usual.
And I think Seattle is a contender for the playoffs, but I don't see them.
I do too.
Fearing anybody for the World Series.
I do too. Cal Raleigh, who had, 60 something homers last year.
Yeah, what the heck?
He's hitting 169. With 9 homers this year.
And he's not playing as often, right? Or has he been banged up?
No, he's not playing. I don't know if he's been banged up or not. Honestly, playing 160 games last year might have taken a toll.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, carried over into this year. But they do have Julio Rodriguez on the 7-day injured list, which means he has a concussion, I think. Yeah, that means he has a concussion. But the pitching staff's usually very, very good. Now, I know they're looking to trade a starter for bullpen help, for back-end bullpen help, because they have a gluttony of starting pitchers there.
Good work, thank you.
I think they have 6 guys that could start in pretty much any rotation. But I think Seattle's a bigger contender for playoffs and wild card than the Rangers are. Houston's only a game and a half behind Seattle, but they're
44. I think they're going to win the division.
That's just me thinking
they're going to do what they do and –
yeah,
there we go again, type thing. But
National League, the Braves, 55-40.
Oh yeah, they're contenders. I think for both. Even though, let's be honest, everybody's chasing one juggernaut in the NL.
Yeah,
but they're contender for both.
Yeah, they've been horrible since the start of June. To the point that they had the best record in baseball for a long time, and now it's not even close. Now to the point
maybe
where
this is the reset they need.
Maybe, yeah. I remember 2016. I always bring it up. The Cubs entering the All-Star break had lost 15-20 games heading into the All-Star break. They had a nice reset. I think they came out.
I'm sure you were pleasant to be around that.
I was not.
I don't remember. I'm sure you were.
I want to say they started the second half on a 6 or 7 game win streak. And that kind of got them going. But I wasn't pleasant from like 2000. Well, once they got good, I was horrible till about 2020. Then they stunk again. Now I feel like I've been okay since. I've also grown up a little bit since then. But no, I'm with you. Braves need pitching, though. They need Austin Riley to start hitting like Austin Riley, too, because he's been horrible this season. Philadelphia Phillies, they are 11 games over 500, only 2 out behind the Braves.
Yeah, I like the Phillies.
I do. Half game behind the Cubs for the top.
I'll put them in contender for both. I mean,
especially with how their pitching sets up. I mean, Christopher Sanchez, he's starting for the National League tomorrow. Probably so far the best pitcher in the National League besides Jacob Mizorowski. Then you have Zach Wheeler, and then you have Jesus Luzardo. You can also throw Aaron Nola in there, who has not been as good. But that's tough to win in a 5-game series, 7-game series as well. And they have wily old vets who've won a lot of games. So I'm going to.
Is there an interim manager probably could get that job, I presume?
Their interim manager is Don Mattingly.
I did not realize that.
Yep, Don Mattingly.
Wow.
So Rob Thompson, who started the year, went 9-19. And since he got fired, Don Mattingly is 45-24.
So that's a good case to get the job.
Honestly, that's what happened last time. The Phillies fired, who was it? I forget the guy's name, but Rob Thompson was their interim, and he ends up getting the job because they went on a huge run. So, yeah, I would say Mattingly has a good shot now, for sure. The heck was it?
It wasn't Girardi, was it?
I think it was.
Was it?
I'm going to go back in their history and see.
I know Girardi was their coach and got fired, and they made the playoffs after they got fired, but I don't know how long ago that was.
It was, yeah. 2022. Girardi, they started the year 22-29. Rob Thompson took over, went 65-46 the rest of the way.
That'll do it.
Made the playoffs. I didn't realize 2022, they made the playoffs for the first time since 2011. They went 11 years without making playoffs.
Yeah, 2022 play minus 2011.
We're rolling today.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. I still rather make that mistake you just made than some of the ones I have.
Miami Marlins. Upstart Miami Marlins.
Contender on both. Yep. Good story, but nah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're very good. Moving to the NL Central, we have the Milwaukee Brewers.
I got to say they're contender in both, even though historically they'll choke in the playoffs. But
yeah, contender in both, especially with their pitching staff. I mean, but at the same time, Cubs are only 5 games back now. Kyle Harrison on the injured list, Brandon Woodruff on the injured list. Jacob Mizorowski, they skipped his start yesterday because he has a fatigued arm, which could lead to a fatigued arm there, which when you're throwing 106 miles an hour, it seems like you'd have a fatigued arm.
What would you hit if you went to your backyard right now, got a few warm-up tosses, and then you got one at the gun? What are you hitting?
57.
I don't even know if I hit 50.
I don't know, man. Yeah. Nah, you'd hit 50. I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't throw softball very
far. I remember at Columbia Elementary School, they had some like field days, like last. Yeah. And they had one of those set up, and I was hitting like, I was, how old were we in second grade? 8?
Yeah.
I was hitting 40 something. I think we could hit 50.
Sure. I think one rigged.
It probably was. I mean, back then, what year would that have been? 2000, 99-ish. It probably wasn't great back then.
One of our mutual friends, I'll put a hint out there so people figure out who it is, but I'm not going to throw his name out there because I want to put him fully on blast. But he told me this story. He was at a Colorado Rocky game not too long ago, and they had the gun there. And it was one of those things you had to hit a certain mile per hour and you could get put in for like a Southwest giveaway. He got 3 different throws, and I think he hit 60, 62, 64, and he pulled a muscle in his gluteus maximus while doing it. So.
Well, the good thing is he's a doctor, so he can figure it out.
He was just like, man, getting old, losing all my athletic ability.
See, he's hitting 60, 62, 64. I think we could hit high 50s.
I appreciate your confidence in me, but I don't know.
Well, give me a good old crow hop in there, and I think I could let her loose, maybe hit 60.
You might have to ice your arm afterwards.
Yeah, I never got – when I was playing high school baseball, I never got – like, I never had the gun put on me, but I would say I was probably throwing in high school. Everything I had in me, I maybe could have hit 78, 80 miles an hour. And that's doing the janitor toss where I'm doing a somersault in the air. Maybe, but I'd tear my rotator cuff. It would just, you know.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think somebody's throwing 106.
With pretty little... pretty low effort too. Yeah. It's crazy how that happens. You see some guys out there that are extreme max effort, like Aroldis Chapman was always max effort. Yeah. Mizorowski's just, it seems like he's barely throwing it.
Like Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, it never just seemed like he was putting all his effort
in. I know. And he was throwing 100 back then. You know, it's crazy. I think they're a contender for both. Chicago Cubs.
I think they're a contender for both.
Contender for playoffs for sure. Their offense is World Series caliber at majority of the time. It is, defense 100% World Series caliber. That pitching staff's nowhere near, you
maybe
have
they make some moves.
They make... that That's why I'm doing this now, and then we're gonna do it after. which, if last year's trade deadline was any indication, I'll just be wanting to throw my computer across the room.
Yeah, I'm looking into a crystal ball, and this is coming up again.
Hashtag fire Jed. We'll see if he actually goes all in this year. He did not. He was very conservative last year, and it cost him dearly. I mean, they went to playoffs, they won a series, so I can't complain too much. But I'm gonna say, currently, they're a pretender when it comes to World Series. They're not going to beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series. I don't think they might be able to do it in a 5-game series if they have every single thing goes their way. Which again, I think we can say that about every team. It's going to be hard to beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
So currently pretender for World Series, but yeah, I think the way the first half ended, I feel much better than I did. And I'll talk about the Cubs here once we're done with contender pretender. St. Louis Cardinals.
Pretender. Once again, good story, but I think they wake up.
I agree. Pittsburgh Pirates, fresh off I think they won 3 of 4, if they might have swept the Brewers over the weekend.
They got good pitching, but I don't trust anything else. They haven't been in that moment. Probably don't know how to handle it if they got close. Pretender.
You know what's interesting is they have scored more runs than any team in the National League this year.
Well, that just made me feel like an idiot for saying what I just said, but
it shouldn't make you feel like an idiot, because I heard it yesterday. I'm like, there's no way in the world they've done that. The pitching's actually been the issue. It's mainly been bullpen.
Yeah.
But like Skeens isn't having as good of a year. His velocity's kind of down. But yeah, they're actually scoring. They are more of a contender than the Cardinals are. I will say that, because I think their pitching's still very good.
Way more than the Reds.
Remember when the Reds had the best record in the league?
I honestly think you could put them in disappointment.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be a lot better than they are.
Agreed. And now they're healthy. I mean, Hunter Green's back from the injured list. Nick Lodolo did just have to go on, but he was having a bad year anyway. They're a stud pitcher whose name is 100% escaping me, and I'm sorry to Andrew. Chase Burns. He's 11-1, 2.54 ERA. If you look at the rest of their pitching staff, Andrew Abbott had a great year last year, ERA over 4. Brady Singer, 4.72. Rhett Lauder was supposed to have a breakout year,
4.91.
They do. Their bullpen stinks. Their closer has an ERA over 6. That's never good. Now that they have Hunter Green back, which he shoved on Friday night, shut the Cubs down. I think he struck out 12 or 13 against them, which is pretty typical against the Cubs.
Is that the most strikeouts somebody's had in a game this year?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I feel like we don't even hear of like 15 or 16 K games.
Not anymore.
Because no one pitches long enough.
Exactly. No one pitches long enough. I don't think we'll ever see another. I think we'll struggle to see another 200 game winner, let alone 300 game winner.
Yeah.
Moving on to the AL West, I think we'll agree on the LA Dodgers that they are a contender in both.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the West? Maybe a contender. Padres are right at 500. Diamondbacks.
They're disappointing.
Two games over. They are disappointing.
No, I don't think anybody else. Yep.
Padres will be a fascinating team if they really fall off before the trade deadline, because maybe they try to trade Mason Miller or Fernando Tatis Jr. or Xander Bogaerts or Manny. All these guys have terrible contracts. Bogaerts and Machado especially, and they're having bad years, and they're old. I say they're old and they're our age, which stinks. It's just not fun to say. Both of them were born in 1992. I'm calling them old. In fact, I think they're younger than us when it comes to So,
before you get the grade in the Cubs performance so far, loyal viewer of the show, friend of the show, Sean Shriver said, does Josh have any thoughts on the Cubs picks in the amateur draft this weekend? Does he have thoughts on any other team's picks?
I do. I do have some thoughts on the Cubs. They went pitching heavy, which is what they needed to do. They'd been position player heavy over the past probably 3 years now. And, they went after certain pitch types. Obviously, they want guys that can throw pretty hard, but they like guys that can really spin the baseball. And so that's what they did. First-round pick, Cade Townsend, had a solid year at Ole Miss. Throws mid to high 90s, but what they love about him is he has good command, and he also spins the heck out of 4 different types of breaking balls. And they love pitch types and pitch shapes and all of that. It's all these buzzwords that these
like J-Man and Wiffle Ball.
these nerdy front office guys use. But baseball is so different than the NFL, even, or definitely different than the NBA, because the NBA guys can come in and be superstars immediately. You got to wait in baseball. So ask me in 4 years if you think this draft was successful. If I went back and look at the Cubs draft class from 4 years ago, I was like, man, that draft class kind of stunk. They got really nothing out of that one. I don't know. That might have been the Cade Horton one. At least they got him. But they obviously wanted to pick up some power, too, when it comes to position players. They took Sorrell. I don't know. Anyway.
I can't help you.
Their second-round pick out of Texas A&M outfielder has a ton of power. And then they took Miles Bailey out of Florida State, who's a 6'5", 258-pound first baseman that has probably the most raw power in the entire draft. Strikes out a ton. But if you can clean up the strikeouts, he'll hit you a ton of homers. So that's all my thoughts. I thought the White Sox did very well. I thought they took the best player in the draft, number one overall. There were so many rumors they're going to take somebody else. I don't even want to pronounce his name because Manfred screwed it up so bad that I don't want people to make fun of me for screwing it up.
I already made the major mispronunciation screw up tonight. So
yeah, I'm going to let you do that.
Yeah, but
no, I love the MLB draft. I followed it. The whole thing, pretty much. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched up until the Cubs picked in the first round. Then I just checked Twitter every once in a while. And
I saw CC Sabathia's kid.
Yeah.
Got drafted.
Yeah. Real late.
Andy Pettit's kid got drafted by the Yankees.
Okay. Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's like we've been at this age for a couple of years now where, you know, in all sports, guys we grew up watching, now their kids are getting drafted. It's like, man.
Well, yeah. There's a couple things this past week that kind of hit me like, man, I'm old. So Illinois is going after a top point guard in the country. He's in high school, Navarro Bowman Jr. That hurt. And then I saw Illinois extended an offer to Mario Manningham Jr. He's a wide receiver. So that stunk. Marcus Spears Jr. is also out there as a top prospect. It's like, golly, this is brutal.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
But not gonna get any better.
Yep. So, all right. I texted Tanner yesterday that I think I'm going to give a letter grade to each kind of contributor on the Chicago. I'm not going to worry about the bench guys that don't really play all that much, but I'll do this quick so we can, because the British Open, the Open is this
Open,
weekend,
yes,
right?
So the last major.
I'll get through this so you can talk about that. And we still have blind rank in on this day.
Yeah.
So, Cubs. I'm going to go position by position, give a letter grade, as I said. Starting with catcher Carson Kelly, I'm going to give him a B. Solid B. He's had a good offensive year. He's played very good defense. He also, which is now a new learned skill because of the ABS, is he has one of the highest success rates when it comes to challenges in baseball behind the plate. So that is now a thing that's, you know, you're going to be evaluated on because his backup, Miguel Amaya, is maybe the worst at challenges. So Carson Kelly, solid B. Michael Bush, I'm going to give him a C. I wish I could give him in between a C and a C minus. He had 34 homers last year. I think he has 12 on the year. Offensively, just hasn't been all that great. Still played good defense at first baseman. You're not playing a guy at first because he plays good defense. You want him to hit homers. But he started to show some signs over the weekend. He had a couple doubles. Multiple multi-hit games this week, so I'm hoping he's poised for a big second half. Nico Horner, I'm going to give him a D. Love Nico Horner. Got paid right before the season, $100 million. He's hitting low 230s. He has four homers. He's not slugging. He's still playing elite defense at second base, but even that's kind of not been as good this year. I love him as a ball player, but something has changed with his swing and it's not working. Dansby Swanson, again, 3 weeks ago, you asked me this, I would have given him a zero and a zero. But he's rejuvenated his season. And so I'm going to bump him up to a C+.
So if you gave him a pre-Cal packet come April when graduation's in May and he said, I'm not doing it, gets a zero.
Would have got a zero. Yeah.
Yeah.
But luckily he has better work ethic than I do. And he figured
you still passed.
I still passed. I still passed, but, 16 homers. Plays elite defense at short. Still one of the best defensive shortstops in the league, and he's saved a ton of runs this year. So C plus. Alex Bregman. Now, if you would have asked me on Friday, even I probably would have given him a D minus. But he essentially won him the game on Saturday and Sunday. He had a 2-run homer to give him the lead on Saturday. They ended up winning by 2. Then yesterday hit a huge 3-run homer when they were up 1 in the 7th inning to kind of put the game out of reach. So I'm going to bump him up to a D plus. He's been a disappointment. He's not slugging, but he has shown signs the past few weeks that he's starting to break out. And honestly, the All-Star break probably came at a bad time for him because he's starting to get hot. Still great teammate. He just hasn't hit. Played very, very good defense at third. So that's why he's probably a D plus. I could even probably throw him a C minus, but I'm not going to because I'm a tough grader. Ian Happ, you asked me in the middle of May, I probably would have given him an A. You asked me here July 13th, and I'm giving him a D. Again, like I can say about every single player on the team, great defense out and left. He's there's a reason why he's won 4 gold gloves out and left. He's the last player on person on planet Earth that I want up with a guy on third and less than 2 outs. He's just, I don't know if, you know, contract year is kind of getting to his head a little bit or what, but he did hit a big RBI double 2 days ago that gave him the lead against the Reds in the later innings. But then they blew it the next inning anyway, but yeah, D. Center field, PCA, A++++. Started the year, he struggled offensively, which he did that last year. Then he made swing adjustments. I've never seen a player who was so aggressive with a very, very low walk rate. Now he's top 50 in baseball in walk rate. He has a on-base percentage near 390. His improvement against left-handed pitching, he had the lowest on-base percentage against left-handed pitching of any player in baseball last year. His on-base percentage against lefties last year was 217. This year, his on-base percentage is over 400 against left-handed pitching. Still, best defensive center fielder I think the world has ever seen, and I will die on that hill. The metrics back it up too, buddy. And fast, gets on base, love the guy. And hopefully his second half is more reminiscent of his first half than it was second half last year, because he did the exact same thing last year. He got hot, put up huge numbers right before the All-Star break, and then flatlined. So hopefully. Seiya Suzuki out and right, I'm going to give him a B-. He's very, very streaky. But, man, he hits the ball very far, and he can go on a heat or two. And he's played much better defense in right field this year. So I'm going to give him a B-. Designated hitter, I'm going to go starting with Moises Ballesteros. I'm going to give him a D-. He was terrible. They sent him down AAA. Michael Conforto, I'm going to give him a B+. He was a minor league invitee, non-roster invitee, minor league contract in the spring training. Won a job, and he's been great for him so far. Starting pitching, I'm going to give that group a C or C+. They've had injuries, been fairly ineffective, but they kept them in games. They've stayed afloat. Bullpen, I'm going to give a D+. You have guys that weren't even on the roster heading into May closing out games. For instance, the other night, they started the 9th inning up 2 against the Reds. Ryan Rollison's in to start. He walks a guy, gives up a hit. They have to bring in Trent Thornton. Neither of those guys were on the roster come May. And now all of a sudden they're having to close out games for them. They need like 4 bullpen guys at the deadline as well as 2 starters. So I'm going to give them a D+. But they've found a way to go, 12 games over 500 from March 25th when the season started through May 9th, I think it was. They had the best record in the league. From May 9th through June 10th, they had the worst record in the league. From June 10th to now, they've had the best record in the league. So snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. Roller coaster there. So, that's my Cubs letter grades there.
Good job, Professor Munt.
Thank you. And then my blind rank is also All-Star game related. So, okay. If we want to knock that out real quick.
Yep.
These are home run derby moments, essentially, here. Starting with Josh Hamilton at Yankee Stadium.
It's one of the ones that always pops in my head when I think home run derby. The old stadium, the last year of the old stadium. He didn't even win the thing. That was the sad part. He had put on an absolute show. And that's the one thing I think about his career, even though he had a great story and everything. I think of the home run derby. Yeah. So I'm putting that number one.
Legendary home run derby. Can you name me who won that derby?
Was it Bobby Abreu?
No. Good guess, but it was, I want to say it was Justin Morneau.
Okay.
For the Twins. But yeah, it, what was it? 28 homers in one round.
Yeah. Man, the whole place was getting them standing. Yeah.
And that round is probably why they changed the format to the timed round, because he didn't end up winning, where he probably would have won if it was a timed round. Now they're back to a different format this year where you get 20 swings. There's no outs or anything like that. There's no time. I personally like it. I kind of got sick of the timed round because guys were running out of gas. And, you know, I don't think people are wanting to see, you know, a sprint to the finish line. They want to see long, long homers. So
that's on tonight, right? Netflix?
It is on tonight. You have some big names in it. Schwarber and Harper and guys like that. Jordan Walker's in it. Ben Rice, Wilson Contreras. There's a couple guys else I'm forgetting. But Ken Griffey Jr. winning it at Fenway.
I was too young to remember this. I don't, but I've seen highlights and everything. And I remember playing the home run derby in Fenway on the PlayStation 1, but I just don't remember watching this derby. So I'm putting that four.
I had it on like VHS tape and I'd always pop it in and watch it. So that was always fun. Sammy Sosa winning at Turner Field.
I do remember this one. It's one of the earlier ones I remember watching. Put at three.
Yeah, Sosa had a couple good shows. Turner Field was one, but then he had to put on a huge show at Miller Park as well, like the very next year. I think
that was a tie game year.
Yeah.
Miller Park. Yep. Yeah.
Bobby Abreu at Comerica Park.
I knew Bobby Abreu won the Derby at least once, if not twice, but I'll put it at five. I don't remember.
That one, he set the record for homers in the round until Josh Hamilton came and broke it a few years later. But after that, Abreu's power was sapped. Like he didn't have any power the rest of the year. He was like a guy that hit 30 to 35, and now all of a sudden he's hitting 15 to 20.
Yeah, when he was a Yankee, he couldn't.
Which some of that probably could have been due to age, but it's easy to point at the home run derby as ruining it. Last one here, Todd Frazier in Cincinnati.
Yeah, place was rocking. The camera was rocking. I mean, they were doing everything they could to get the hometown boy a win. I mean, the Reds needed to win something. Yeah.
I think it was the first year of the timed rounds, too, so it made it even more exciting.
So I'm good with that being number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we, a couple of us, watched it in my tiny little apartment on the lake in Indiana.
I remember watching Robinson Cano one with you.
Yeah.
I watched a couple once because I remember that one year he went outside and stood because the rapture was supposed to happen.
The Mayan calendar ended.
Yeah. You went out and stood with your hands on your hips. Walked right back inside.
I forgot about that.
Continue to watch the derby.
All
of us stay inside. Josh goes outside.
Yeah. Are you gonna watch the derby?
I might tune in a little bit. I want to see the Netflix presentation of it.
Yeah, they have some interesting guys on the panel, Barry Bonds being one of them. So that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, I saw the Giants drafted the guy with the last name Bonds.
It's his nephew, Peyton, out of Rutgers.
Really?
Yep. Pretty sure it's his nephew, or maybe cousin. I don't remember.
Okay. I didn't even know he's related, but
related somehow. Yep.
Cool. Good blind rankings list. I like that. I remember most of those. So I like that one. That's brought to you by Legos Every Week, Performer Prince Super Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, Performer Prince Super Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Yeah, the Home Run Derby contestants are Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Junior Caminero from Tampa Bay Rays, Munetaka Murakami from White Sox, but I think it's stupid he's in it because he just missed like four weeks due to injury. It just came back. Jordan Walker, the Cardinals, Jack Caglianone, I always forget how to pronounce his name, from the Royals, Wilson Contreras, Red Sox, and Ben Rice from the Yankees. Who you got?
I'd like to see Ben Rice win, of course, but give me Bryce Harper one more time in his career.
I'm glad you didn't take Ben Rice, because last year you took Jazz Chisholm, I'm pretty sure, and he had, like, the worst round ever.
did he mean hit
one? I think he ended up hitting, like, two or –
I think he hit one last year, slapping ground balls like me.
You know, I was when Wilson Contreras was with the Cubs, I think it was Rizzo or guys around the team always said, if Wilson's ever invited to a home run derby, he will win it. So I'm going to take Wilson just to be different. Although Schwarber, again, in his home ballpark, and he hit some tanks. That'll be fun to watch. But give me Wilson. Just be different.
Yeah. How old is he now?
33. He's younger than us. Born in 93.
Okay.
Harper was born in 92. So they're about the same age. It's an old Phillies team. Trey Turner's in his 30s. Zach Wheeler's in his late 30s at this point, mid to late 30s.
You want to get educated?
I do.
All right. On this day, 1934, Babe Ruth hit his 700th career home run against the Tigers.
700. That's a lot of homers. I don't think we'll ever see that again either. Mm-mm. Especially if in the new CBA, so one of the proposals is players have to go to college for at least 2 years before they're draft eligible. Can't be drafted out of high school anymore. So I hope the MLBPA tells them to shove it.
I have one of the MLB. See, now earlier I wanted to say NBA when I meant MLB. Now I'm saying MLB when I want to say NBA. Yeah. I wish the NBA would let guys go out of high school, but if they went to college, you have to say minimum 2 years. But
at the same school, too.
Yep. They don't care what we think.
No, they don't.
I'll say 1962. Who won the British Open?
I'm going to go with Jack.
Arnold Palmer.
Ah.
Won his second consecutive Open. Won that one by 6 strokes. Well, it was a 1963 future baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Early Win won his 300th and final MLB game at the age of 43.
It's pretty good.
On this day, 1968, who won the British Open?
I'm going to go with Jack.
Jack finished runner-up.
Ah.
Gary Player won his second of three Open titles. On this day, 1971, who was the MVP of the 42nd MLB All-Star Game?
71. I'm going to go with Willie Stargell.
Frank Robinson.
Ah, he was good.
Didn't know this. On this day, 1972, NFL franchises, the Los Angeles Rams and Baltimore Colts, swapped owners. Irsay went from owning the Rams to the Colts, and Rosenblum went from owning the Colts to the Rams.
Nice little trade, huh?
I did not.
Interesting.
I thought Irsay always owned
the Colts. That's weird.
Wow. On this day, 1974, who won the British Open?
I'm going to go with Jack.
Gary Player, again.
Man. I'm going to keep picking him until I get it right.
Let's see. On this day, 1985, the Yankees retired jersey numbers 9 and 32. Can you tell me who wore those two jersey numbers?
No, can't.
Roger Maris, 9.
Oh.
And Elston Howard, 32. That's news to me. I didn't
they
know
retired
one.
Roger Maris's number? Come on, guys. It needs to be
every single digit number's retired.
That's crazy. Paul O'Neill's next. Good Lord.
His might already be retired, 21.
Oh, man. If it is, that's honestly pathetic.
I know they did Bernie 51 a few years ago.
He's not even in the Hall of Fame, is he?
No, neither one of them. I don't know. I'll have to Google that. But
Bernie might be in the Hall of Fame now.
No, Bernie's not in the Hall.
I didn't think so.
No. But I think they've retired all the core four. Bernie, Posada, Pettit.
That's Jeter. Crazy.
I'm pretty sure. Because I'm like, what are they going to do when they run out of double-digit numbers?
That is crazy. Yeah, Bernie's not in the Hall.
No, I'm pretty sure they retired his number. On this day, 1993, who won the MVP of the 64th All-Star Game?
93?
Yep.
93. Bonds? Griffey?
Kirby Puckett.
Oh, man.
Who was the... All-Star MVP in 99, the 70th.
McGuire.
It was Pedro Martinez.
Really?
Struck out the first four batters.
Billy Martin, Jeter, Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Torrey, yeah. Mantle, all yeah. makes sense.
Yeah.
Bill Dickey, Roger Maris, Phil Rizzuto, Thurman Munson, again, makes sense. He died. Whitey Ford, Jorge Posada makes no sense. Paul O'Neill's is
told you. I told you.
Doesn't make any sense. Don Mattingly doesn't make any sense. Elson Howard doesn't make any sense. Casey Stengel doesn't make any sense. Marlon Rivera makes sense. Reggie Jackson makes sense. Pettit doesn't make sense. Guidry doesn't make sense. Williams doesn't make sense. CC Sabathia. Doesn't make any sense. A lick of sense. Some things need to be sacred.
There you go. They got other MLB All-Star games, but it doesn't tell me who the MVPs were.
What so years?
04 and 2010.
I don't even have a guess. 04, I think, was in Houston.
It was, and then the other one was in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Here, 2021, the 91st All-Star game. Who won All-Star MVP?
Where's that at?
It was in Coors Field in Denver.
Really? Man, mm-hmm. I don't remember that one at all.
The AL won their eighth in a row that year.
American League. I mean, Judge?
Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Jr., really? I don't remember that being in Coors at all. Wow. Where yeah, was it last year? Seattle last year, right? Or was yeah. that 2 years ago already? I think that was two last year. What? No, 2 years ago already was Seattle. Last year was Atlanta. You're I think right. it was 2 years ago that Jazz played. No, I think Jazz was in the Home Run Derby last year.
They all run together.
They do. I don't know.
They all run together. But that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today, 260-248-2749, to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. The Open Championship, it'll always be the British Open to me. The fourth and last major of the year is this week. It's hard to believe it's already that time. Where is this one at? I believe it's at Royal Birkdale for the first time since 2017. I don't know what number of Open Championship this is. It's a lot. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite. Rory McIlroy is. He just missed the cut first time this year, I believe, because a lot of the events he's played in.
First time since 2022.
Events. Yep. That might not be a bad thing, though, yeah. honestly.
Get out of the system.
This is the 154th playing of the Open Championship. Just a little old. Rory second. Your boy Bryson, oh my gosh, where is he at?
He's falling off a cliff.
He's I think way down there, and he's at plus 6,500. Tanner might have to put a bet on him this week because I kind of like that. You doing it?
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Bryson will win this week. he'll not only make the cut, he will win. Because he hasn't made the cut in a while either at a big tourney, has he?
Oh, for three in majors, yeah. And that's all he plays in on tour because he's a live guy. So,
J-Man's Book of British Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and fire insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it! Where's the tourney at this week?
Royal Birkdale.
It's link style, right?
Yeah, they're all usually linked. Last time was there 2017. A guy named Jordan Spieth. One is third and last major. Jordan Spieth has only won two golf tournaments since that day on 2017.
Crazy. What happened?
Yeah, he just kind of lost it. He's good enough to make the cut, but never wins. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. Yeah. Now he's older, a father. Things happen. I am going with Victor Hovland to win his first major title of his career. So,
who are you going for? Victor you broke Hovland. Up a little bit.
Victor Hovland. Gotcha. He's never won a major. He won the playoff a few weeks ago against Scottie Scheffler. I forget what tournament that was off the top of my head. But so, yeah, I like Victor this week.
Cool.
Hoping for Ricky, like always, but I'll just take
him. He's in it, huh?
Yeah, he's in it. So he's 28th right now in the FedEx Cup standing. So having a decent year, but would sure like to see him get contention. So, birdie or bogey, all time MLB, who has the most all-star selections?
There's a couple guys that popped in, but the first one, because he played forever, is Pete Rose.
Great guess.
Oh, shoot. The other two, Nolan Ryan. No. Randy Johnson. No. That makes me feel better. Who is it?
Hammer and Hank Aaron with
25. Oh, man. Same era.
Yep.
Shoot. That makes me mad. I should have known that. Should have known. But
I'm going to go get a big bowl of a chorizo. So that's what I'm going
to do. Chorizo. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We will be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.